We are so glad that you are here tonight on this Ash Wednesday and wanted to just give you all a huge welcome. My name is Becky Basolto, and I am the Spiritual Formation Director here at the River. I'm lucky enough to be the Spiritual Formation Director here at the River. And so I'm just really glad that you are all with me. Tonight, we're going to enter into Ash Wednesday, but first I'd like to pray for us. God, thank you that you are good, that you are here, that you are with us. God, I pray that as we enter this time, you would slow us down. You would help us to listen and to hear. And you would help us to remember. Remember your goodness and your grace and your overwhelming love. Thank you. Amen. So I think as many of us know, Ash Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. It marks the 40-day period of preparation before Easter. So later in the service, we'll receive ashes on our forehead as a visible sign of our human frailty and our deep, deep dependence on God. The words, "From dust you have come, to dust you shall return," will be said over us as we receive the ashes, reminding us of our mortality. From dust you have come, to dust you shall return. From dust you have come, to dust you shall return. I want to start our time off by taking like a good full minute or two, just sitting in that phrase. How does it feel to you? What does it stir up in you? What questions do you have? What does God invite you into? So I just encourage you to take a couple deep breaths, settle into your seat, close your eyes if you'd like, and think about that phrase, "From dust you have come, to dust you shall return." Okay. So do you think about your mortality often? Or are you like me and many others in our day and age who totally avoid death? I think we distract ourselves from it. We sanitize it. We just avoid it altogether. But what if remembering our death actually helps us to live better? What if paying attention to the many ways that death is present in and around us is an invitation to us this Ash Wednesday? Psalm 90 reminds us to teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Remembering that we are dust isn't morbid, it's actually wisdom for living. There's a monastic tradition called memento mori, which means remember you must die. It's a spiritual practice of meditating on one's own death, so as to live a more virtuous, God-focused life. Saint Benedict, a monk of that order, wrote day by day, "Remind yourself you are going to die." It was such a central part of their tradition that many would put a skull in their room as a remembrance of their death. And crazily enough, it was not a skull like this that I bought on Amazon. It was a skull of their roommate or their friend or another monk in that tradition. And they would put it on their desk or their dresser so that they would remember. And as strange as that may sound, the purpose was simple: to remember day by day that they were dust and their lives mattered deeply to God. I think most of us live, want to and long to live a life well lived. We want to know that we matter deeply to God, and yet we still avoid thinking about death or reflecting on it. So why? Well, I don't know about you, but often death feels like it's all around us, and it feels gloomy or dark or really, really sad. We think about Gaza and Minnesota, the Ukraine, but also a friend with cancer, a parent who's dying of dementia, or a child who's struggling, and we just don't know how it's going to go. Life already feels overwhelming and hard, so we just keep our nose down and we just keep moving forward. I also think we avoid thinking about death because of fear and uncomfortableness. Death reminds us of our limits and how little control we actually have. And I think many of us just grasp for control, myself included. And I think grief can cause us to not reflect on our own death. Because in order to be present to our own mortality, we have to be willing to sit with feelings of loss, uncertainty, and pain that we would rather not embrace. And I am a 7 on the Enneagram, and we avoid pain at all costs. And I think that many of you might be able to relate to that, that sitting with emotions like that can be really hard. So what do? We cope. We cope the way that society has taught us, by being busy. We fill out every single nook and cranny of our lives with noise, events, our phones, information. We can even fill our lives to overflowing with good things like ministry or relationships or plans or vacations. But each of these can become a way of keeping us from listening to our own souls. And when every single space is filled with noise, it drowns out God's still, small voice. Well-respected pastor John Mark Comer says that the skull is a daily reminder that life is fleeting. Don't miss it. He says that in our age, it is incredibly easy to waste our lives on triviality by amusing ourselves to death. Ronald Wurlheiser says that we are distracting ourselves into spiritual oblivion. Guys, I long to live a life of meaning following Jesus. I long to sit on my deathbed and look back with consolation. And yet I struggle to do that, to live a life that matters, to think about my death. And I think many of you might too. So why? I think many of us can answer that question, but I think it is so important to talk about it again and again and again. I think it's important to remind our brains, because we live in a counterformational society that pushes against our desire to remember that we are but dust. Our lives are often overwhelmed with responsibility and striving, with hurry, distraction, and the subtle pull to root ourselves in things that cannot truly sustain us. We rush. We overwork, we strive, as if everything depends on us, thinking that we are in control. But when we remember that we are but dust, when we keep our mind on our death, on the skull, it helps to soften our grip on productivity. It helps us to connect with Jesus and clarify what really truly matters in our lives. It invites us to slow down and to be present, to embrace what is of our lives. When we recognize that life is short and we don't know what tomorrow holds, depth and love and goodness becomes urgent and hurry becomes unnecessary. Depth and love and goodness becomes urgent and hurry becomes unnecessary. It's common on Ash Wednesday to read a passage in Joel 2 that says, "The day of the Lord is coming. Judgment is on the way." The passage mentions darkness and armies and gloom and fire. And then in verses 12 to 13, we are reminded to return to God with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from punishment. When we remember that we are but dust, we're returning to God by prioritizing what really matters. By surrendering, we're returning and prioritizing what really matters. John Mark Comer again tells us what that looks like practically. He says, it's to remind yourself that you are going to die is to remind yourself to live for your eulogy, not your resume. To focus on what matters in the grand scheme of eternity, becoming a person of love through union with Jesus. Becoming a person of love through union with Jesus. I long for that. I know deep down, and I think you do too, that it is good and it is right and it is what we were made for. So how do we do that? What does that look like? I think there are a couple different ways to live life differently. We start by looking at Jesus and how he lived. He rested, he withdrew, and he refused to rush. Sit with that for a moment. A wonderful girlfriend of mine says that she imagines Jesus as unhurried and unworried. Unhurried and unworried. What an invitation to walk in his ways, to apprentice under him. His life shows us that peace does not come from control, but from surrender. To live differently, we also remember our death, that we are but dust. We are finite, we are fragile, and we are not in control. And yet, friends, we are deeply loved by God. So loved that Good Friday and Easter came. So loved. To live differently, we begin with the end in mind. What do we want said about us at our funerals? Where's our focus? They say you are what you love. So what are you loving? Are you living for eulogy virtues or resume virtues? And we ask ourselves where God might be inviting us to be more unhurried and unworried. Mark 6:31 says, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. And my all-time favorite verse is the Message version of Matthew 11:28-30. "Come to me," Jesus says. "Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, Jesus says, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. To live freely and lightly. What would that look like in your life? What's God inviting you into this Lenten season? And finally, I think we lean into practices such as prayer, silence and solitude, reflection, fasting, and others. But here's the key. We do those not as a way to earn God's love, not as a way to show that you worked hard enough or you did it enough or you performed well enough, but as a way of opening ourselves up to God's transforming work within us. Friends, my hope for myself and for each one of you here today is that in remembering our end, we would learn how to truly, truly live. That we would remember we are dust, but we are so deeply loved. We are mortal and yet held in each moment by a God who loves looking at you in love. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for those truths. God, let them sink into our hearts. God, remind us daily of how you lived, of how you call us to live, God, and what is important. Help us to live lives that matter deeply. Thank you. Amen.